And we're back, or we should be. Jay's introducing to me a board that has about 60 times the buttons the last one had on it, and he tells me there's only 8 or 10 I have to worry about. That's a big worry. 1 or 2 is a big worry for me. But anyway, we're back and doing our best here. Gentlemen, there's a sheet in front of you that talks a little bit about what this step's all about and what the situation based on somebody's commentary for today. That would be Steve Arterburn, David Stoop, the fellows who wrote Life Recovery Devotional with 30 readings for each step, and we use the step that corresponds with a month. This being month 10, rather, means step 10. Step 10 says we kept taking inventory, and when we were wrong, we promptly admitted it. So we look at ourselves, maybe daily, maybe every evening, for instance, and, well, what went well today and what didn't go so well, and the things that didn't go so well, well, we get to have a bit of a deeper look at those and how might we rectify these within the next very short while. And again, the idea is not to build up baggage. When I look at this sheet here, and I made a couple of notes on it, so it's a bit of a cheat for you guys, but one of the things that came to me was down in just the last paragraph there, it says, we may find the Bible to be confusing, and not that we're going to go on to religion here, folks, but there's a lot of wisdom in that book, and others, yes, you're right, but there's a lot of wisdom in that book. When you haven't used it much in your life or not familiar with it, first time look is pretty scary, and takes a long time before someone can tell you, well, there's actually 66 books in this particular. You know what? We just got our last guest, or two or three, but yeah, we have a young lady named Georgia, and she's here with us, and she'll be talking. Peter was going to try and escape, but his wife's not letting him. So, Pauline, thank you for your transporting and all that. We'll catch up with you later. Hi, Georgia.
Hi, Scott.
Great to have you here.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah, you can pull that a little closer to yourself, and, you know, and I think that's probably good.
Can you hear me okay?
Yeah, we can hear you. And, yeah, as long as you stay close to the mics, we can hear you pretty well. Tell me, you found us through a bit of a hassle.
Yeah, see, my best intentions get me lost in the city of Toronto. So, it was meant to be, though, because I met a fabulous woman on the way here.
Yeah.
Whose child is also suffering from, I guess, alcoholism.
And oh, really?
Mirrors my history a little bit. So
I feel like
it was meant to be.
Yeah, isn't it miraculous how... you know, we are pretty out there saying that we believe God's in charge of these things. And, you know, when things happen the way they should happen, we really don't know where to turn next. But when you run into someone, you know, who needs your particular information, it's pretty obvious that something was meant to be. And as you say, someone who mirrors your life in a sense, that's pretty powerful. Were you able to actually share anything?
Yeah, I shared quite a bit about my past and my history.
Yeah,
do you want me to go into that a little bit?
Yeah, sure. If you're comfortable, go ahead.
Yeah, I came here with the intention of just being really honest. And do you want me to, like, start from the beginning?
Well, yeah, you can if you want. If we need to interrupt you for whatever reason, we will. And it'll give us a break, and I can look at some of these buttons. So that's a great idea. Go ahead.
Okay. By the way, on the way here, you played the clip saying that the show is ending.
I know.
Okay.
No thanks, now the world knows.
I was like, oh, I'm really late. I missed the show, you know? I guess, like, growing up, I never really fit in anywhere. I was really shy, and I hid away from the world. And then in high school, I had some bullying issues, and that led me to trying to be a tougher, different person, which brought me to alcohol and dangerous guys and bad boys, and that progressed and elevated up until I was 33. I graduated from alcohol to substance to substance and really lost who I was completely. I ended up with some health issues in 2012 related to using and drinking too much. Mm-hmm. And that's when I started trying to recover. And I tried everything. I tried moving. I tried changing friends. I tried changing substances. I tried treatment. And nothing worked at mm-hmm. all until I found, I went to a meeting. And there was a lady sharing about how everybody's saying, you're doing a good job, great for you, all of these things are happening. And she had to say, it's not me, it's God. So after trying every other technique I could think of, I went home and I gave up and I said, God, I need your help. And my life changed.
Wow.
Yeah.
Pretty amazing.
Yeah.
And how long ago was that?
My recovery started in 2016, okay. and it didn't happen right away. Mm-hmm. It took some more battles and some more yeah. health issues,
yeah.
but it was progressively climbing cool. in an upward motion, right?
So you got like more and more clean time between relapses, if you will? And,
yeah, that's
and so
what they
on, and,
they say. It's like a heartbeat yeah. where the space between each one gets further yeah. apart yeah. and... you just progress till yeah. the time when you're free of it.
There's no question the whole thing of recovery, you know, is a thing where relapses are never wanted, but and not even anticipated or expected, but they usually happen. So
yeah,
and you know, and when you get that tough attitude, like you know, I don't care if it's longer than it ever has been, or even shorter than it ever has been. You know, I'm on my way to the right place, and now I have the greatest helper that we can get our hands on, and that makes all the difference.
Yeah, for sure. My last relapse, I think it was a total necessity because I was going into treatment. I had been clean for 3 months. I was just out of the hospital. I was in the hospital for 6 weeks, and then I stayed with the lady from a meeting for 6 weeks. And I thought, okay, I'm going to treatment. I have 5 days. I'm mm-hmm. just going to do a little bit. I'll drink a little bit. And that ended up being like a 4-day event. I missed treatment by a month. And it proved to me like there's no little yeah. bit. There's no control. And it scared me. Like I had an experience where mm-hmm. I feel like God shook me, and I'll never go back to it because of that one last relapse, right?
Hmm.
Yeah.
Frightening.
Yeah.
Wow.
In a good way.
That's interesting, though. I'd never heard the shook me before, even in any circles. Jeff, have you come across that in any of your spiritual happenings or experiences of someone... demonstrating or feeling as though there was a shaking? I like the sound of that. It sounds...
Not me. I haven't heard of that. But,
no.
I mean, you know, each person has individual experiences. So that's your experience. It's amazing. Yeah. God, we're all these human beings, 8 billion of us, and yet God looks at us, and we look at each other as quite unique. I mean, there's no one else looks like you.
Yeah.
And then no one else, even if they were you, even if you had a twin, they wouldn't be the same person. You'd know they were a totally different person with similarities. But it's amazing that God makes unique people, all of us, and he can do something with us.
Yes.
Or for our betterment, each one of us. And
yeah.
so if we come to him, he says, I will hear you. And so he heard you before, and then he helped you.
Yeah.
So. Kind of interesting.
Yeah, I thought I was unhelpable. And I was okay with that for a while, but he changed me.
Tell me, when you were at your worst there, which is really not that long ago, I mean, well, you're so young anyway, I guess it seems like a big chunk. When I look at a year or two, it's like, oh yeah, a couple more of those will be gone in a bloop. And that's the way it seems. But you had some serious health issues. I remember you were telling me about your heart condition and so on as a very young person. Had you sort of taken the decision after all of that, while you were still using, we'll say, that you were just going to use and till it was over?
So the major, like 2012 was, I call it like the peak of my addiction. And that's when I ended up in the hospital with my heart being infected. And that didn't stop me. Like, I kept using after that, for another, I ended up back in the hospital 4 more times with the same thing. And every time they said, like, you're going to die. And I felt like that wasn't going to happen. I was like, I was toying with fate. Mm-hmm. You know, I felt like it wasn't my time, and I was okay with if I did end up going. And, that was after a series of really bad relationships, and I was just broken. Mm-hmm. And in then, 2016, yeah. I had heart surgery, open heart surgery, mm-hmm. and I was sober before that to get the surgery. Mm-hmm. But I thought that that would be enough to scare me into staying yeah. sober. And, you know, 3 months after the surgery, I was back at it. And I got away with it. I was using like once every 3 months, 4 months, you know, longer times of sobriety. Mm-hmm. But it's still, I ended up back in the hospital again mm-hmm. after that. And it was after that where I was like, okay, maybe I'll try a meeting. And I don't understand yeah. why, like, a meeting is such a horrible thing to go to when you're that lost and you're that desperate. I looked at it like it was a weakness to go ask yeah. for help.
Yeah.
When in reality, it was the easiest way out of my dilemma, right?
Yeah. I mean, it's often the only answer. And the beauty of the 12-step philosophy is you get in with a whole bunch of people who know big parts of your story. And by the time you've gone through them all over a number of years, you've pretty much heard your life story, you know, from different people all added up. And it's a neat thing. And I was just thinking, about you and Jeff, because you were both with me on that recent retreat. And, and I've got to be honest, I recognized your voice on the phone, but I couldn't remember who you were.
Oh, that's okay.
Well, and if you knew how many names we hear, especially for, not in your position, but especially for ladies inside jails where we spend a lot of time, you know, and there's so many names. And there was another one, and I almost confused it with Georgina,
okay,
who had been on the show one time before. And I thought, well, I guess we must have planned another show in advance, and that's what it is. But I kept seeing your name, Georgia, on my calendar, you know, because I'm always looking, you know, month at a time, and I kept and thinking, what is this Georgia thing? You know, because it was nothing else. I had written nothing else. I just put your name in there, and that was it. So, you know, depending on me to remember who somebody is with the number of names we see.
Yeah.
And I'm not kidding, lots of them. And Jeff knows, he goes in there too. So, you know, the fact that you guys know each other and spend a little time, and Peter, I almost begged Peter to come to that retreat. Was going to give him,
get off work, Scott,
give him his ice cream.
It was a really good retreat. I really enjoyed it.
That was fun. Yeah, yeah. I always do. And I think that was getting close to my 20th, somewhere between 15 and 20 anyway. And that was, I still enjoy it. I mean, every year in a way I sort of say, well, I'm not sure, maybe this will be my last one. But every time I've had it, I say, I look forward to the next one right from the time it ends. So yeah, it's a great place. It's great to meet people from so many different aspects of life, you know. The addict, the alcoholic, the mentally ill, the, you know, just the hurting in general. And that's what we like. We kind of exist so that we can all share burdens and become healthy together. And once past the original draw of any particular kind of addiction, the feelings are pretty much consistent, and we can move on together in a lot of different ways. You know, even though it's important, I think, to identify, and you can comment on this if you like, Georgia, but important to identify with your own biggest problems, people who have the same problems, such as booze, alcoholism, or whatever else you may get yourself into. But being with those people, you'll get more particular sharing that's, more with what you understand.
Yeah. I've been to a lot of different fellowships. Mm-hmm. I've been to AA. That's where I first started, and that's yeah. where I you know, was supported by a lovely group of women in Mississauga. And then I went downtown and I found another fellowship, which is called CMA, which is Crystal Meth Anonymous. And it's a small, intimate meeting. And I find that I can share most honestly there, and it has really good recovery. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, it's when you're accepted, when you tell all, and people look at you like, oh, okay, that's it. Yeah. It really helps you feel like a human, and then you can start to heal.
That's what we find, too. Jeff and Peter can both comment on this. If we're vulnerable with the people, especially the people inside the ladies' jail we spend a lot of time at, if we tell them everything that hurts us, it's almost an automatic. It'll give them the freedom, and I'm not even sure, it's more of a spiritual thing, but whatever it takes to make them want to share, and they go away different. I mean, week after week, we see so many. I mean, these guys can tell you it. We can be as far down as possible, and if we go to, as long as we hit the jail, we'll come out high. You know, and it's sounds ridiculous, but it's true, and certainly in my life. And I can't speak for them, but what about you, Peter? Can you back me up on that? Or
oh yeah, it's amazing. Well, for me, I have a bit of a, you know, alcohol-related history and problems with the law a little bit. And just to be able to go in to see these women, just to show up and tell them that I care about them. You know, I'm no better than them, and maybe their families have written them off, but I'm just happy to be able to see them. And every time I leave, I'm such a high. It's just amazing. It's like I tell Scott, it's almost a selfish thing, me going there. But anyway, I love it.
You were saying, was it last week you missed a couple or the week before?
Saying
it just didn't seem right.
when you guys were in California, I didn't go all week. And I thought, man, what's missing? It was the jail. Hmm. Yeah.
Talking of jails, have you ever done any time,
George? So this ties in with what I was talking about in the car on the way here. So I found myself in a series of really dangerous relationships, and I had an order not to go around the guy that I was with, which in the end I feel saved my life because I went around him a few times and got caught, and I ended up the first time going to Lindsay for a weekend. Mm-hmm. And then I ended up in Vanier after going back around to him again for a week and a half. So not a lot of time, but enough to check it off my bucket list.
Well, you get a taste of it. I don't think it takes very long from the people I talked to up there to know they'd rather not be there.
Yeah, exactly. It was an eye-opener, right? Like, and this is the consequence for this behavior.
Yeah.
And, getting arrested was one of the things that saved my life.
Yeah. Oh, that's great. And when was that?
2012. 2012 was like...
So that was the... Yeah.
Yeah, it was the big, messy year, and then trying to climb out of that from then until the end of 2018.
Yeah, wow.
Yeah.
And you used, obviously, crystal meth at some point, probably. You use alcohol. It almost sounds like your major when it comes to problems. I don't know if it is or not, but...
Yeah, that was like my one lover all the way through from start to finish. And then I had, you know, semi-relationships with other substances throughout, trying to get off one, and then you end up doing another one, and you just kind of escalate until you're in a really dangerous place.
And your experience with or knowledge of fentanyl, is that...
That was part of my story.
Yeah.
I've lost 11 friends. To fentanyl-related causes, and I'm really lucky to still be alive, for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Did you ever overdose on that stuff?
Dozens of times.
Really?
Yeah.
And somebody was always around to bring you back? So.
Yeah.
Was that purposeful? I mean, like many I hear, they won't do it unless they're with other people who at least have access to the kits and so on.
Yeah, it's not on purpose, but... There's a point where you don't want to get you want to get just high enough, but not too much. And when you're playing with a substance like that, it's a thin red line, right?
Yeah, I know. It's we all know I lost my boy to that stuff, but what I've seen since, and same thing, like, we didn't save his life, but I think in the long run, his life will save a lot of other lives. So, you know, not because of what happened, but just by virtue of them being able to find somewhere that'll provide enough hope to get them onto the next rung, whatever that might be, you know, whether it might be a specific fellowship, might be, you know, and inclusive. I think all the time their relationship with God. We start in a lot of these fellowships by talking about higher power, and you'll hear over the years that that's a no-no for certain Christian areas, but you'll hear from people who've been around a long time that, you know, it's those who search who find, and, you know, hungry people get to where they need to go, and it's not for us to decide how they want to label, call, worship, or anything else. We're there to support them, especially those who've made the decision. They want to know about that. They want something. They, you know, I mean, I loved spirituality from the time I was a little tiny kid, you know, and I didn't know it was spirituality at the time, but I wanted to know why, how, you know, and I'd look up at those stars and it would drive me nuts, you know, if you see that one, and then someone tells you, you know, it's taken so many billion years for the light from that thing to be here, and, you know, it's really been dead for, I don't know, you know, that kind of thing, and we're just seeing the light of it, you know, and anyway, those kind of things really got me going, and I had to find some answers, and in the end, the answer was simply being connected spiritually, finding the God that made sense to me, and in my case, that was the Christian God, it was Christ, but for many, it's not, you know, but many kind of come around that way over time, and I just think our job is to give access to whatever degree we understand it to those around us, and you know, we don't save people, change people, we don't do anything to people, but if we're part of a path that's I believe designed, then I want to be working that part of it harder than anything else, you know. So anyway, I think, well, you guys are thinking of what you want me to ask you for the last segment of this program. I'm just kidding. And we'll take another break with my help my friend Jay here. How do I take a break, Jay?